They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we're on our final part of the series with Dr. Andrew Snelling and talking about geology again today. And I want to remind us of the verse that we talked about last week as we looked at scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth were brought about from water and through water by the word of God. Through these waters, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And last week, we really talked about how this is so important to understand the geology from the perspective of the flood, how that points us to the faithfulness of God in judgment and the fact that he is going to come and judge again. It is all fulfilled and understood in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gives us salvation from that judgment. And we have Dr. Snelling with us. Welcome again for our final series. And I just want to ask you, we're going to really hone in on one specific subject today, Dr. Snelling, because I really want to just explore what we see in front of us. And many of us, particularly in North America, have gone to the Grand Canyon. And so let's talk about the Grand Canyon a little bit. Why is the Grand Canyon so significant?
Well, it's one of the few places on Earth where you've got such a deep exposure of such a wide variety of rock layers and a depth of rock layers. I mean, it's one of two features that can be seen from the moon, the Great Wall of China and the Grand Canyon. And it really is a mecca for geologists because exposed to view are many of the rock layers that make up the Earth, the outer skin of the Earth, back to the earliest rocks right through to the present rocks. You can do a whole transect from the Grand Canyon area from the bottom to the north, where you go up a series of steps above the rim of the Grand Canyon, and you virtually look at a whole series of layers that encompass the Earth's history. And so it's an important place to see whether the evidence stacks up in favour of what God's word teaches about the Earth's history, particularly the flood, versus man's ideas of millions of years.
Now, you talked about going up in the stairs, and that really encompasses things like Zion Canyon,
correct,
Bryce Canyon. It's called the Grand Staircase,
correct,
right?
That's right.
Okay, but let's talk about the extent of those rock layers that we see in the Grand Canyon. Like, how extensive is it?
Well, we're talking about layers that can be traced right across the continent. Some of them can be traced right across the continent. Geologists look in drill cores, in boreholes, and also in outcrops in other parts of North America. And we can see some of the same layers in the Grand Canyon stretch right across the continent. Some of them can also be found equivalents on other continents in England and across Europe.
Wow.
And so, and even in North Africa, one of the sandstones right down the bottom of the Grand Canyon, we see it again in southern Israel and across North Africa. And so it tells us that whatever deposited these layers, whatever formed these layers, had to go right across the continent and between continents. And because these are water deposited layers, then it implies you had a massive flood, which of course begins to bring in what the Bible says about all the high hills being cut under the whole of the heaven being covered. It fits what we see in the Grand Canyon. You go for mile after mile after mile, you see the same layers with the same consistency. Nothing's changed.
Mm.
And to think that these layers not only cover that area, but they can be found across in the Appalachians and across over in England, across over in Europe, and some of them even as far as the Himalayas. I mean, it just blows the mind.
Dr. Snelling, that is intriguing to me when we think about that, because when I hear even some wonderful respected scholars talk about the flood of Noah being a local flood, how could they possibly explain that consistency across continents that you're talking about in those rock layers?
They can't. I mean, we take people to the canyon to show them this evidence, and including biblical scholars, and it really gives them a new perspective.
Mm.
It sort of opens the window. It's not as if Noah can only see to the horizon and that's as far as the flood went. No, the physical evidence for the passage of the waters is found in these rock layers that go right across continents, and even can be traced to other continents, indicating that the flood waters had a global reach. And that's exactly how the Bible describes it.
Okay. Well, as we look at the Grand Canyon, and I've been there a number of times now, and I tell you what, every time I'm just amazed. It's this huge, great, big, majestic thing. Whether you're looking from the top or whether you're down in the bottom in the Colorado River looking up, it just makes you stand in awe, really, of this massive thing. It's a huge, great, big hole in the ground. I mean, how did a hole in the ground get there?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people say it's a little bit of water over a long period of time, but we would say no, it was a lot of water in a short period of time. And in fact, that is quite evident. The Colorado River today, even prior to the dams being put in, even the summer floods couldn't remove the debris from the canyon, which causes the rapids that make it one of the best places to do whitewater rafting in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the present Colorado River can't even erode and clean out the debris in its channel, how could it possibly have eroded the Grand Canyon?
Mm.
It had to be a lot more water in the past. The fact that the sides of the canyon, the walls, are so clean, in the side canyons, there's so little debris, as if it was all flushed out.
Mm.
And the evidence indicates that at the end of the flood provides the best mechanism. When the plateau area through which the canyon was carved was pushed up, water was trapped upstream and eventually it was formed like a natural dam, and the wall eventually failed because of the types of rocks and cracks in the rocks. The water eventually started cutting through, and the faster and faster the process got, the more it dug down, and a lot of water, a little bit of time. In fact, it's not a new idea. Even some of the secularists believe that there was a catastrophic dam failure of waters trapped upstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're finding many people are actually coming out and now even this in the secularists, as you're saying, are actually saying, no, this had to be by catastrophe, right?
Yes. And the fact that the river, the course of the river comes to the edge of the plateau, and instead of going around it, it actually does a right-hand turn and cuts right through it, means that it can't have been a process that's going on today, because water doesn't flow uphill.
Right.
The canyon was carved into a plateau where the headwaters of the river are a lower elevation. So it makes no sense to say that the river carved the canyon.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, we still go, if you go for a tour down the canyon today, you're probably not going to get anything other than millions of years from tour guides, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and we've seen it. And by the way, I would encourage listeners to, you know, if you have never been to the Grand Canyon and you've just heard what Dr. Snelling is saying, go on the internet, have a look at a picture of the canyon and look at this huge, great, big, wide chasm, and then look at the size of the little trickling Colorado River in comparison going through in the bottom.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to think, Steve, but the geologists, when they looked at Mars and found a huge canyon system on Mars that makes the Grand Canyon look like a gully, they said that was produced by a catastrophic outbursting of water and a global flood on Mars, on a planet today where there's virtually no water that we know of. And yet on the Earth, which is still 70% covered by water, they said there never could have been a global flood.
Yeah, that's...
And it left the similar sort of scar with the Grand Canyon.
Just huge. Okay, well, let's talk about when you're in the canyon. And I've been in one of those rafts going down there, and you see the consistency of the layers, and that has something to say about erosion and what people think about millions of years. What would you say about that?
Well, we see the layers are consistent in that the boundary between the layers. I mean, if it took millions of years for the layer to form, and then there was millions of years while nothing happened, you'd still expect to find erosion surface on the top of the layers. Like at the top of the canyon now, you've got mm-hmm. gullies and you've got
sure.
got little knolls and all that kind of thing. And yet the boundaries between the layers are straight without any evidence of erosion or anything in between. There's no evidence of any missing millions of years. The geologists say between some layers there can be 5 and 10 million years missing, but there's no evidence of it. All the layers look like they've been stacked up like pancakes on top of one another, one after the other, in a rapid sequence. And that makes sense. We take people down the canyon on tours, and we show them where the layers have all been folded, places where all the layers have been folded. Supposedly hundreds of millions of years worth of layers have been folded while they were still soft, as if they'd only just been deposited yesterday. And it doesn't make sense in terms of the millions of years, because if it was millions of years, the rocks would have become hard and brittle, so when they bent, they would have fractured. But we don't see that. We see smooth folding that indicates they were still soft and pliable just after having been deposited, not over millions of years, but rapidly, in quick succession.
And I've seen a picture of you, and I've seen this myself, that folding that you're talking about, but I've seen a picture of you standing in front of this huge, it looks like the size of a house, and this massive fold, and just no cracks.
That's right. And it defies millions of years explanations.
Sure does.
There's no way that they can explain in terms of millions of years, and yet it fits the biblical picture of the flood.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just contemplate what this means for us, because we've come to the end of our series just talking about geology and research in general. But, you know, I really want to take time to do this, because I've sat there and a lot of people would say, look at this beautiful part of God's creation. But when I'm looking at the Grand Canyon, I'm not really seeing God's creation. I'm seeing God's judgment.
Yeah, and I mean, to sit in the canyon and to contemplate the incredible scale of that judgment and the power that was unleashed at that time, you know, you think of Psalm 8, you know, what is man? You know, you feel so puny.
Yeah.
You feel so insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look up at the heavens at night and the stars in the canyon, which are absolute glorious display. You know, the heavens declare the handiwork of God, and you realize the God who judged the earth, you know, loved you and I. We weren't insignificant. He loved us each enough to punish us like that with a flood, but to send the Lord Jesus Christ as our ark of salvation, just like he sent and got Noah to build the ark to preserve life. Through that judgment, God has provided another ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have to pass through the door of salvation by accepting him. And it all comes into focus in the quietness of the canyon, the scale of the canyon, the majesty, you know, contemplating these issues of God's judgment, the power, how puny we are, and yet how gracious and loving our Heavenly Father is.
Amazingly gracious. I want to finish by saying this. There's a man by the name of Tom Vale, and Canyon Ministries. He takes people on tours down the Grand Canyon, and he also does it with another man at the moment, John Albert.
Yes.
And they're taking tours all the time. And he was once one of the tour guides of the Grand Canyon that was teaching them millions of years, but he couldn't answer the questions that you've answered today.
That's right.
And as a result of this, this man realized that what he was sitting in every day doing tours was God's judgment, and that he needed salvation in Jesus Christ. And now you can go with Canyon Ministries and Tom Vale and John Albert, and you can go down that river and you can get the truth of Scripture given to you as you see it in the walls of the canyon before you. And it is truly great.
And I sometimes join those tours to give the in-depth geology so people can be equipped to give answers.
Great stuff. And it's so good to have that, and we have a Grand Canyon tour guide for those who want to go to the canyon and get that biblical perspective. We do sell those guides, the Grand Canyon tour guide at Answers in Genesis. Thank you so much, Dr. Snelling, for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.